Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. As always, we welcome everyone to our shiur. This week for Parshas Vayechi, so I felt it would be worthwhile to discuss the concept of Kfuras Yisroel, a little bit of a morbid topic, but nonetheless something which is very important because in our times especially, there's been a great deal of this come under attack, and Jews, usually non-religious Jews, have deviated from the practices of halacha that were accepted for all the years. So I would just like to discuss the foundation, the concepts involved in this mitzvah. Obviously, the connection to the parasha is apparent. Parashas Vayechi speaks about the death of two of the greatest tzaddikim in Jewish history, that Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik. And the Torah tells us that each one of them made the request that they be buried in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that they passed away in Mitzrayim. So we have here on the sheet, the Torah tells us that first Yaakov Avinu passed away, and it says, Vayetzav Yosef es avodav es arofim lachanot es aviv, that Yosef commanded his servants to embalm his father. And in fact, the doctors, the medical personnel, embalmed the body of Yaakov Avinu. Now, as we will see in the course of the shir, embalming is something which is against the halacha, and the question obviously presents itself, how is this permitted? And then we find once again, at the end of the parasha, right under it, we have the very last pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. The Torah tells us, Vayomas Yosef ben Meir v'Esher Shanim, that Yosef passed away 110 years old. Vayachantu also, and he was embalmed. Vayisim ba'aron ben Mitzrayim, and he was placed in a coffin in Mitzrayim. That's the way Sefer Bereishis ends. There is an opinion in the Chazal, it's noteworthy here. The Torah says that Yosef was 110 years when he passed away. The Chazal tell us that from all the 12 sons of Yaakov, Yosef was the first one to die. And the question is, why was that? So, in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, the Gemara gives a reason, b'nei shehinig asmo b'rabonus, because of the fact that he carried himself with airs, that when he was the leader of Mitzrayim, so he displayed on some level a certain measure of arrogance towards his brothers when they came to purchase the food from him. And because of that, Hashem took him to task, and therefore his life was short. That's one opinion. That's what we find in the Gemara. But in the Medrash, there is another reason that's found, and that is that it says that the reason why Yosef passed away at an early age was because of the fact that he embalmed his father. Because of the fact that we had in the previous pasuk that Vayitzav Yosef, that Yosef said, Lachi commanded the people to embalm the body of Yaakov. So according to an opinion in the Chazal, it was for that reason that he was punished. So I'd like to discuss a lot of these topics, pretty much presented as an overview. Of course, a lot of times specific questions come up. We'll try to cover as much as we can. Okay, as we all know, the basis for burial, the Jewish concept for a person after passing away is that the person should be buried in the ground. Where do we find this? So where does it say this in the Torah? So if you look here in the sheet, we find the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetzeh that the Torah says, V'chiyeh v'ish chet mishpat maves v'humas, that there are certain people who were killed by Beis Din. And in such a case, the Torah tells us, in certain situations where a person was killed by Beis Din, excuse me, it says, V'soliso so'aleitz, that after the person is killed, it should be hung. The body should be hung. Now, hanging is not one of the forms of the Mises Beis Din. There are four Mises Beis Din, as we know. Hanging is not one of them. However, in certain cases, it's a question in the Gemara and Sanhedrin which one this applies to. But nevertheless, in certain cases, the body was hung as a means of showing people that to dissuade people from sin, to show them that this is what happens to a person who commits this very serious transgression. So the Torah continues in Pasuk Chav Gimel and says, in such a situation, lo solin nivloso al ha'etz, you should not leave the body of that person on the tree overnight. Ki kovar tikberenu bayomahu, because the person should be buried on that day. The body should not be left overnight. And the Torah proceeds to expound upon this, but this is the pasuk that is quoted in Chazal, that kikover tikberenu b'yomahu. So if you look at the bottom of the page, a little bit of small print here, but if you look in the bottom of the page, Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Mem Vavam at Bay, says as follows, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Minayin l'malinus meso she'over olav belosase. How do we know that if a person allows a dead body to stay overnight, what's called halonos hames, that he allows the body, does not bury the person on the day of the passing, that they have violated a mitzvah in the Torah, Talmud lomar ki kovar tikberenu, because it says in the pasuk that we just read that such a person, the person who was hung, has to be buried on that day. It says losol and nivlos all eights, don't allow the body to stay overnight. Okay, says the Gemara, Mikan Lomalinus Mesel Shaofer Belosa say, from this we see that a person who does such a thing violates a mitzvah. Now, the Gemara comes with a second interpretation, a second version, and says, Ikad Amri, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Bishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Remez, Wikfura min HaTorah minayin. From where do we see a reference to Kfura from the Torah? Where do we see this? Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, ki kofar tikberenu. Mikan remez l'kfura min HaTorah. Because the pasuk says the person has to be buried. Kofar tikberenu, the person should be buried. So even though the immediate pasuk that we're referring to is speaking about a specific scenario, speaking about a person who was killed by Beis Din, and theoretically one might say that maybe it's only in that case that it applies, nevertheless, the Chazal derived from that pasuk, the Kabbalah the Chazal had from that pasuk was that one of two things, which actually in the halacha we hold both to be the case. Number one, that from part of that pasuk you see that a dead body should not be left overnight. Number two, that a dead body should be buried. Kover tikberenu bayomahu. And in fact, if you turn over the page, so the Rambam says, it's brought in the Rambam and all the poskim, Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Rambam says in the 12th parak of the Hilchos Avelos, the Rambam says, Ahespid kovet amesu, that the eulogy that's given for a person is the honor of the mace. Is the honor of the mace. Lufika kofinas ayorshin litin schar hamakonim. In other words, the question, is it an honor for the mace or is it an honor for the family? The difference would be that, let's say the family says, okay, we don't, you know, to get a rabbi to give a eulogy costs some money. Or to get someone to the old times when they would get mekonenos, they would get people to go sing the mournful tunes, the dirge, whatever it would be. Right, people had to pay for that. So the question is, let's say the family says, all right, in a cost-cutting measure with Michael. It's okay. It's our honor with Michael. We forgo our honor. So the halacha is not so. The halacha is that hesped is the honor of the dead person. It's the honor of the person who passed away. And therefore the family can't, it's not up to them to say we don't want it. It's not their honor. It's someone else's honor. And therefore they have to do it, whether they like, they have to pay for it, whether they like it or not. Now, the Rambam continues and says, "The imtziva al taspidu." If the person before his passing gives the specific request, "I do not want to be eulogized," which is a different discussion. But let's say a person said that, so then ein sof dino. So that request is honored because since it's the person's honor, it's the dead person's honor. So had that person prior to his passing given the instructions, I don't want to be eulogized, okay, that's up to him, that's in his control. But it's not in the family's control. And therefore, that's the type of thing that they have to do whether they want to or not.
We don't listen to him.
We don't, oh, no, this you do listen to him. You see, we don't, no, he says clearly, the Rambam says, ain soft enough, so this you listen to the person. We'll see about other things that you don't listen. Hang in there. All right, so the Rambam finishes, however, here's the part that we're interested in. The Rambam says, Avulim tziva shelo yikfar. This is what you're referring to. If a person says prior to his passing, do not bury me. I don't want to be buried. Okay, so then says the Rambam, ain't shomin lo. You don't listen to him. How do you know? Shehakfura mitzvah. Because kfura, burial in the ground, is a mitzvah. How do we know this? Shenemar ki kover tikberenu. It's derived from this pasuk that we just cited. Kikover tikberenu beyomahu, that is the pasuk which teaches us of the mitzvah of kvura in the ground. So just two things. So first of all, just as an aside, the idea, the first version of the Gemara, which is also brought in the halacha, that there's a prohibition about leaving a dead body overnight. So we know, for example, that this is taken to different lengths in different places in Eretz Yisrael. It's especially in Yerushalayim, it's absolutely unheard of, virtually unheard of, to hold over a mace for any reason, and therefore it's common funerals take place at night, the middle of the night, in Eretz Yisrael. Here in America, due to various reasons, the cemeteries close at certain times. It's not possible to arrange it. But so therefore, sometimes due to the logistics, a funeral is held over. Also sometimes, oftentimes, the issue comes up that the family is trying to come attend the funeral from out of town, and therefore it's the travel, they can't necessarily get in on that day. So there is a whole discussion in halacha, and commonly it is done in situations where it's deemed to be for the honor of the person who passed on. And therefore, sometimes they will hold over, you know, for family members to come in. But this is a question. It's not something you should be taken lightly. Not something you should be taken lightly. You see in the Gemara that going to the first version of the Gemara, this is derived from the pasuk in the Torah. That this is din daraisa lo solon if lo sol eitz. So you can't leave it overnight. So it's not just like a custom. This is something that's a daraisa according to many poskim, and therefore people. You know, when such a situation arises, a person just has to realize it. You have to consult with a competent rav to find out whether it is correct, what's considered to the honor of the mace and what's not. You know, just because, you know, the third cousin who lives in Australia wants to come, that might not be good enough reason to hold it over. But if you know, the children are coming or whatever, so these are questions that come up, and a person certainly has to consult on this. Yes. The mitzvah is primarily on the children. The mitzvah kfur is primarily the yes. It's their chiyuv to do it, and it's their chiyuv to pay for it. And therefore, even if the mace, the person who passed on, didn't necessarily leave over funds for this, but nevertheless, this is a chiyuv that is on the family. Okay, so now. So thus we have the inyan of kvura bekarka. Now this mitzvah of kavar tikvarenu, of burying the person in the ground, applies not just to an entire body, but it applies really even to a partial part of a body. So, for example, if a person, God forbid, has a limb amputated. Or something, you know, of that nature in the person's lifetime. So really, according to the halacha, that's supposed to be buried also. That's supposed to be buried. In certain cases, people aren't comfortable with that, and, you know, they get creeped out by such a thought. So sometimes they will actually embalm the limb until the person passes away. But nevertheless, really the halacha is that in such a situation, anything that's larger than the size of a kezias is the machlokas and the poskim, how large the shear is of a human body that needs to be buried. But nevertheless, but the halacha is that even anything larger than a kezias certainly is supposed to be buried. Okay, now the question comes up, what is the reason for this? What is the reason why we have this mitzvah kfur bakaka? After all, today, the reality is that in today's world, in the Western world, the preferred, what has become by many, many people, the preferred method is cremation. And for many reasons, people say that, well, you know, I don't live near the rest of my family, so what's the point? You know, I live over here, I live on the East Coast, my family lives on the West Coast, they're not going to come visit my grave anyway, or I live in this country, they live in a different country. That's one reason that's given. Another reason that's given is because people are more and more conscious of the environment, and they feel that for environmental reasons, you're taking up to bury. You know, the burial takes up space, and in certain large cities, there are issues with this, the cemetery space, and so forth. And why should we get involved in this? And all kinds of cheshbonos. And of course, in a lot of cases, it's cheaper. Money is a big part of it, right? It's less expensive to cremate a body than it is to bury a body, and it has become, I was speaking prior to the shir, I spoke with Rabbi Bauman, who is the head of the Chevra Kadisha locally, and he said to me that Florida is the cremation capital of the United States. That here in this state, there are more people cremated than anywhere else, and the rates have become very, very, very high, and even amongst Jews. And even amongst Jews, it's a very big question. I read that in New York, as of a few years ago, the funeral homes in New York reported, the Jewish funeral homes in New York reported a 30% rate of people who wanted to be cremated. Jews who wanted to be cremated. Yeah, yes.
In the interest of saving the space,
yes.
Another issue that has come up is burying one
on top of the other. Right, okay, so we'll get to that, hopefully. So there are all kinds of issues. So now, based on what we've seen here, right, so we'll see more about it, but the idea of cremation is contrary to the halacha, right? It's contrary to the halacha because we just said it's a mitzvah to bury a person in the ground. It's a mitzvah. So if a person is cremated, they're violating the mitzvah. They're violating the mitzvah. The mitzvah says, ki kover tikvarenu. Now, the cremation proponents will say, well, that's not true, because you'll take the ashes and you'll bury the ashes in the ground. Right? So therefore, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of kfura. However, the poskim say that this is not so because of the fact that, first of all, the mitzvah is to bury the entire person. It's not just to bury the ashes. As we've mentioned just a few moments ago, that even a part of a human body is supposed to be buried. The entire body is supposed to be buried. So simply to rely upon that and to... this is an argument that was made to such an extent that the Rabbanim in different countries got together and decided that a person who's cremated, they will not allow the ashes to be buried in the Jewish cemetery. They wouldn't allow it because of the fact that this was connected, this was done in opposition to the halacha. And this is whether this happens in practice, I from the research that I did, I believe that this does not happen in practice, that generally speaking, they do bury cremated ashes. That's the practice, that's what I was told, because of the high prevalence of it. And various probably reasons that there's only so many battles that you could fight, but if you look in the poskim speak very seriously about this point, that if a person is cremated, they should not allow the ashes to be buried because of the fact that, number one, it went against the halacha. That's the first reason. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just study this portion, Sanhedrin, last week.
Yeah.
We had a big debate here on the show. There is no halacha that you have to bury the Torah, you have to bury the person on the ground. It's only a suggestion.
No, so that's a question. So that, because they say, I didn't want to get into that, because Gemara says, Remez Minatara, so this is a, right, no. But the poskim, the unanimous consensus of all the poskim is that the chiyuv to bury is there, it's a halacha. There is some debate whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbana. In other words, they focus in on the fact that the Gemara says Remez Minatara Minayin, although many places in the Shas we find Remez Minatara Minayin and it really means it's the Raisa. But okay, there is some, that's true. There is some discussion, but everybody agrees. There is no dispute that it's at least Midrabbana.
Yeah, yes. There's also a Chassid in Kohelet refers to the dust returning to the earth.
Yeah, we'll get that. Okay, right, correct. Okay, so now, the philosophy of burial in the ground is because the reason why this is such a big issue. So in the Sefer Gesher HaChaim, which is written on the laws of Avelus and all matters pertaining to such things, so he discusses the philosophy of Kfura B'Karka, and basically the Jewish concept is that when a person passes on, so being put in the ground is not a form of saying goodbye, but rather being put in the ground is the same as putting a seed in the ground. When you put a seed in the ground, you take the seed out of a fruit or whatever it may be. It may be all dried out, but you put it in the ground, and somehow being there with everything that happens subsequently, it comes back to life. That it comes back as it regenerates. That it becomes a new entity, and therefore the concept, the Sefer Gesher HaChaim, he refers to Kfura as zaria, that it's like a person is being, in a certain sense, planted. And the basis for this is found in the Gemara we have here on the bottom of the second side. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Amid Beis, says as follows, at the very end of the top line, the Gemara says, Shola Cleopatra Malchusas Rav Meir. Okay, Cleopatra made it into the Gemara. Not the famous Cleopatra, right? The truth of the matter is that the title Cleopatra was given to Egyptian queens for a certain period of time. There were numerous people who carried that, same way that Paro or Pharaoh was not necessarily a reference to a specific person. There were numerous people, the famous one in the Chumash, right? But nevertheless, there were other Paros, and so too there were other Cleopatras. So the famous or notorious Cleopatra lived a century earlier than Rav Meir did. Okay. However, nonetheless, there was an Egyptian queen, and her name was Cleopatra, and she asked Rav Meir. She said the following. She said, "Amr Yadana the Chaya Shichvi." She said, "I know that you go with the concept that the people who pass on will come back to life." Diksiv, as it says in the pasuk, "Vayatzitzu Meir Kesav Haaretz." She apparently was familiar with the Tanakh. A learned woman, and therefore she quoted a pasuk which says that they will blossom forth like the grass of the ground, referring to the mason who are buried in the ground. Her question simply was, Elika Shehain Omdim, Omdim Arumim Obil Husham Omdim. She had a question. When people emerge in the Tchias Mason, she said, "I know this Tchias Mason. I know that." Whether she herself believed it is unclear, but she said, "I know that that's the Jewish philosophy," because she quoted a pasuk. But her question was, right, when people emerge from Tchias HaMeisim, do they come out unclothed, or do they come out clothed? This was her question. Amar lo, so Rav Meir said to her, Kal v'chomer mechita. So Rav Meir said that we could make a Kal v'chomer, that we could derive this from a seed, from a kernel of wheat. When you plant a seed, a kernel of wheat, how is it? It's just one kernel of wheat that you put in the ground. It's naked, right? It's just that little kernel. But nevertheless, when it grows, when it blossoms, what comes out? A whole stalk, and you have to actually peel it apart to get to the kernel of wheat. So Rav Meir said, "So tzaddikim shenikvru b'vushayim." Halachas kama v'kama. So Rav Meir said, referring to the righteous, but the truth is, really, the Mefarshim explained first to everyone that the person who who passes away, even though the person is not buried, the Jewish burial, very simple, and just the shrouds, the tachrichin, not buried in a whole fancy Armani suit, right, with a tie, we don't do those things. Nevertheless, the person will certainly come out, quote. So this is what we find here in the Gemara, that the analogy that's made between Kfuras Yisrael and planting a seed, and thus, in other words, this is what he was saying. He was saying it's the same type of thing. You put a seed in the ground, and look what comes from it. Right? When you put it in, it doesn't look particularly glamorous, the seed that goes into the ground. Right? It's shriveled up. It's tiny, but when it comes out, look how it comes out. So thus, the Mesorah that we have is that this is the benefit of Kfura B'Karka, that a person that is buried in the ground, so it becomes a toeles for the Tchias HaMeisim process, and therefore this is the why is a great mitzvah in the Torah that a person should be buried, and buried specifically in the ground. Okay? And to this extent, we know that it's even a question whether a person can be buried in a coffin. Right, because according to the halacha, ki kavar tikberenu, so really, what the Torah seems to be saying is that the person should be buried in the ground. The person should be buried in the ground, yes?
Usually in Eretz Yisrael, that's the case.
Now, and to bolster this, we find, if you turn back to the first page, the fourth pasuk, right? So we have the pasuk at the very beginning of Bereishis. The Torah says that when Adam Rishon was cursed after eating from the Eitz Hadas, so as Hashem said to him, "V'zeas apecha tochal lechem," that through the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. At shuchel adama, until you return to the ground. Ki mimena lukochta, because you were taken from the ground. Ki ofar ata, because you are dust. Meaning the fact that the Chazal tell us that man was created offer, the pasuk actually says that Hashem created Adam, offer min ha'adama, that part of the composition of a human being is dust from the ground. The offer atov, el offer toshuv, the pasuk says that you will return to the offer as well. And thus, the mitzvah of kvura is that the person should return to the ground. So, obviously, the person has to be buried in the ground, not in a structure that's not in the ground, such as a mausoleum, which we'll speak a little bit more about in a moment. But this is the basic idea. Now, based on this, it would come out that a person really shouldn't be put even in a coffin, which, as has been mentioned, is the custom in Eretz Yisrael. However, in many, many countries, and here in America, it is in violation of the law to do such a thing. So therefore, it's not an we have no choice, we can't do that. So what's done is that effort is made to make it that at the very least, the bottom of the coffin should be removed, or there should be some exposure, some opening in the coffin that the person should be in contact with the ground. We find in the Chazal, it's in the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, also when he was buried, apparently also at that time, he couldn't be buried straight in the ground, so he was buried in a coffin, but he said that make openings in it so that I should be able to fulfill this mandate of offer to El Offer Tashu. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me, though, because, first of all, if somebody is cremated,
yeah,
they're more like dust than somebody with a whole body.
Right, but the Torah says, right, but the Torah doesn't say that you should make yourself into dust. The Torah says you should return to the Adam was told that you should return to the dust. You were made from the ground, you should return. In other words, ash is not the same. Ashes is a different situation. The offer atav el offer tashav means you have been created from this and you should be returned to this. But this pasuk is not, if it was just this pasuk, maybe you could say, you know, other things, but this pasuk is just brought in to show the idea that the person is supposed to be in touch with the ground. The etzem idea, the basic concept of kfura bekarka is derived from the earlier pasuk, which is that kavartik b'renu v'yomahu. Kavartik b'renu, yeah, got you.
In Eretz Yisrael,
Sanhedrin
Mechaber, they have...
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll get to that. Yes, go ahead.
Cave?
Okay, yeah, that's the same thing. Okay, well, so we'll see. So this is the mitzvah that the person should be buried in contact with the ground. Here in South Florida is another issue which comes up because of the fact that the water table under the ground is so high and therefore the graves could be flooded. And as such, they create like a vault, which really preempts the fact that it's kfura bekarka, which isn't the greatest thing. However, to try to keep with this teaching, so they put dirt into the vault. So therefore, it should be, what's that?
They smash out the bottom of the vault.
They do that?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, fine. All right, so things are done to make it that you should be able to fulfill this possible. But nevertheless, this is the inyan of kfuras Yisrael. So thus, as such, it comes out that when it comes to the idea of cremation, so even though for a lot of reasons people favor it, but nevertheless, the reason not to do it, the very compelling halachic reason not to do it, are several. Number one is the fact that, as we've said, been saying until now, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So a person is being mevatel a mitzvah. You can't do that. You can't say that I don't want to do the mitzvah. The mitzvahs are not choices. The mitzvahs are obligatory. So it's a mitzvah of kfura in the karka. That's what has to be done. To such an extent that the halacha is that even as we saw in the Rambam, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even if a parent or a deceased, whoever it may be, leaves specific wishes, that I want to be cremated, I don't want to be buried, the halacha is you're not allowed to listen. You're not allowed to listen. They can't tell you. A person does not have the right to say, I don't want to do what the Torah says. And the children or whoever, obviously this is a complicated situation, and should this come up, I'm sure it does. So a rav has to be consulted to find out exactly how to handle it. But I'm just giving the basic, the broad ideas here. The basic halacha, it's against halacha to do such a thing. Okay? And I was told that the Chevra Kadisha, even though, as I say, they the common practice is that they will bury cremated ashes. We're talking now about cremated people that did it by choice. We'll discuss in a moment, what happens if Chas Hashem or some other reason it happened. But the common practice seems to be that they do bury it But taharas are not done. This is what I was told. The local chaver kaddisha will not do a tahara on a person who wants to, because sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes you have that. Right. And people say they want a tahara and they want to be cremated. So they will not do it. They will not do it. It's against halacha. Against the halacha to be buried in that, to be, you know, to have that done, and therefore the wishes are not respected. Yes.
The Holocaust.
Okay. So now, what about a person who was cremated not by their own choice? So there, the halacha is obviously different. That was done by ones; they didn't have a say in the matter. So in such cases, the ashes are buried. That's 100% universal, and that's nobody could possibly have any complaint with a situation like that, because it was nobody's choice. So where they are able to get the ashes, the common practice is they put it in some sort of jar and they bury the jar in the ground. Chas v'shalom could happen in a fire where a person, or they had in 9/11, all these situations where when they finally dug out, you know, and they finally got to the bottom of things, they found all kinds of remains in different situations like that. That's clearly a different discussion. That's a different situation. Ashes a problem for a Kohen is a good question. That's a machlokus in the poskim. I think the common practice is that the machmer by such a thing. By the ashes discussed in, I saw it in the tshuva from a German Rav, that is Shalos Tshuvos Melamed Lahol, Rav Tzavit Tzvi Hoffman, in the mid-1800s, discusses this. I don't remember what it came out, but I believe it is an issue. Yes. Is there an iser? So now the question, until now we said that it's a mitzvah to bury. So it's a mitzvah to bury, so it's usur, it's prohibited to violate a mitzvah. So that you could say. But more than that, the poskim say that there is also, that this falls into the category of nivul hames, that this is considered, like we spoke last year, you may recall, I think it was this parsha, we spoke about autopsies in halacha, and the question of doing something to a body that is disrespectful or that degrades it. Okay, in Judaism, a human body is a davar chashuv. It's not something, and some religions view it, some of the Eastern religions, they view the body from a spiritual standpoint as the enemy, because of the fact that, you know, there's the spiritual side of the person and there's the physical side, and the physical side wants to do all the things that are counter to the spiritual, and therefore the body is like the, you know, public enemy number one. And therefore, cremation is preferred because of the fact that, you know, that's exactly what you should do to this thing. You know, take it and burn it. You know, at the end, like the burn it like the chametz. Okay, but in Judaism, it's not viewed that way at all. And therefore, there's respect that has to be given. In fact, we find in the book of Amos, which is one of the Treyaser Nevi'im, so we find that in the second parak, was actually the Haftarah a few weeks ago, so the pasuk tells us that... Koamar Hashem, it's not on the sheet, I apologize. Koamar Hashem, al shlosha pishe moav, al arbo ashivenu, that Hashem, the Nevuah came forth through the Navi Amos, that due to certain sins of Moav, I will not forgive them. And one of them was, al sarfo atzmos melech Edom lasid, that they took in battle, they captured the people of Moav, non-Jews, captured the king of Edom, and they cremated him. And to this, the Navi says that Hashem said that for this sin I will not forgive them. Okay, so in other words, you see, even by non-Jews, there's such a thing. Why? What's the prohibition? So the Mefarshim explained that this is because nivul hames, that this is because it's disrespectful, it's degrading to the body, and that is an iser. So in other words, whereas kfura bekarka is a positive mitzvah, so not fulfilling a positive mitzvah is not a choice, but nevertheless, it's only a positive, like not shaking a lulav, you'll say, if you want to make a halachic analogy. But here, it comes out that it's also nivul hames, and as well, there is also the issue of the fact that it goes against the belief in tchias hamesim. In other words, as we mentioned earlier, this is what Cleopatra, right? In other words, if you want to get into a debate with someone on this topic, you say even Cleopatra understood this, right? That burying a person in the ground is a benefit for the tchias hamesim. So a person who requests that they be cremated is essentially denying the belief in the Tchias HaMeisim. Now, you could argue that it's not necessarily true, but if this is something that is beneficial to that and crucial to that, so then you can't just say, I don't want that. You can't say, I don't want that. If a person truly believes, this is one of the 13 fundamental beliefs. This is one of the 13 fundamental beliefs, right? It's interesting. It's pointed out, I believe I saw this in the Geshe Rachaim, that he says that when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, so when you speak about Tchias HaMeisim, which is the second bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei, so it's part of the bracha Gvuras Hashem, right? So we say it ends up in Neman Ata Gibor Lo Hashem Mechayim Meisim Ata Rav Loshi, and then ends up in Neman Ata Lachios Meisim. But what's interesting is that in that section we also speak about the rain, right? During the winter season, that's when we say Mashiv Aruch Amarad Hageshem, right? While you're talking about Tchias HaMeisim, so Mefarshim point out that it's because there's an analogy between the rain and burial and Tchias HaMeisim, because it's the same idea. Just like the rain comes and affects something that's in the ground and causes something that has been buried in the ground to come up and come back to life. So too, not that the rain does it, but there's an idea of the idea of Tchias HaMeisim is the same type of thing that a person put in the ground, and that eventually from being in the ground they're going to come back to life. So therefore, for these three reasons, the cremation is not an acceptable solution, and as such, this is as I say, it's a very big issue, and it could be very challenging. But to whatever degree a person is able to influence, very common non-religious relatives and so forth who insist upon doing this for whatever the reason may be, a person really has to try to talk them out of it, and if not, then a question should be asked to a Rav what to do. It's a very, very difficult situation.
He didn't respect his father.
He what?
He's Kiyoh HaNavi.
Yeah.
He didn't value his father.
Right. I'm saying it's true. I'm just in real life, it's not always so easy. I'm saying when it comes up, a person should seek out the advice of a Rav and also the people from the Chevra Kadisha. There's a lot of literature that's even available online on this topic. They say that the OU has something that's online where they quote one of the experts on one of the leading people in Chevra Kadisha in America saying that the way to solve the problem is through education. There's a reason why people do it very often. They just don't know. How should you? There's not one of the famous mitzvahs in the Torah. You know, tefillin, Shabbos, kashrus, those things are famous. Okay, fasting on Yom Kippur, having a Pesach Seder. But when it comes to this, so it's not clear. Where do you find it? So generally speaking, that's where you have the biggest problems. It's not because people are anti-necessary. Some cases, that may be the case, but not necessarily. Often, that's not the case. Often, it's just the fact people just don't know. They just don't know. So you have to tell them. You know, it's a sensitive thing, a delicate thing. It's not a topic that people like discussing. But nevertheless, this is something which is basic halacha. Yeah, yeah.
If a guy walks into my office,
yes,
and he wants a cremation,
yes,
of his will,
yes,
I've never been able to change anybody's mind.
Okay.
So come in with that, and first of all, they tell me I didn't live my life by the Torah my whole life.
Okay.
And I'm not going to start now.
Okay. I agree. It's a hard thing. There's no question.
I got to tell you, my Yeruch and Kogelman talked my father out of it, and I got to give him a lot.
Well, and I think a lot depends on how it's presented. You have to go.
He's not a lawyer.
Right. Okay, I'm saying. In other words, you have to. People are trained in this today. People are trained in this, and you have to speak to people who know. You know, it's a very, very difficult situation. I'm not trying to make it sound like this is a small. It's obviously a very big issue. But there are ways to deal with it. And the way to deal with it primarily is through education.
Rabbi,
yes.
I worked in a funeral home.
Yes.
9 times out of 10,
yes,
the son doesn't want to pay money. Big money, $10,000.
Okay.
He wants just the cheapest.
Okay. So the son should be reminded that when he was a little kid, who paid his tuition, who sent him to camp, and who carried him in the middle of the night when he was crying.
At the end.
Okay, that's...
Rabbi asked him, he said, tell me, if I bury your father for the same price of cream, would you let me? He said, go ahead, Rabbi. So there you are.
Okay. Well, again, see, I think also that's due to lack of education. Ultimately, it's also due to lack of education because they don't see the benefit in it. So they're just looking at the bottom line cost. But the fact is that this is, unfortunately, in today's world, this is a very big problem. It's a bigger problem of people being very self-centered and not having appreciation for what was done for them. If a child had any, you know, what person has their own children and begins to first realize, I know myself, when I had decided my own family, I began to appreciate my parents, because when my kids were waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning screaming, when I had to take off from whatever I wanted to do to take my kid to the doctor at the most inconvenient time, an hour before Shavuos or Shabbos, or, you know, then you begin to appreciate what your parents do. So if a child doesn't want to honor the parents' wishes, that, what could you say? That's a bigger problem. Okay, just to finish up. So now, as far as mausoleums are concerned, so the halacha, as we said, is the same concept. The halacha is that the kvura is supposed to be bekarka ki ofer atav el ofer tashuv. Anything that is considered in the ground would be considered acceptable. Okay, the old custom is found in the Torah and in the Gemara, in the Shas. We find that people were very often buried in caves. Okay, it was always an issue of cemeteries, and you have to also bear in mind that in the olden days, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very, very big issue with cemeteries because of Tumah. The laws of Tumah were in effect, and they affected everybody, to Kohanim primarily, but not only Kohanim, and therefore it was a very big issue. So oftentimes they would bury people in caves. Like we find in Ma'aras HaMachpelah, when a person goes to Hebron, right? Ma'aras HaMachpelah is a cave. Right? You go there today, hard to realize that, because a very large building that was built, King Herod, you know, many years ago, but nevertheless, they're not buried in the building. They're buried in the cave that's underneath. You can see when you stand outside, you can see a little bit the cave component of it, but that's where people are buried. Now, as long as it's in such a thing, that's considered kvura bekarka. Okay, but a freestanding building that has been constructed, okay, such as the modern day mausoleum, that is not acceptable, because that's not kvura bekarka. That's not, so there's like another issue, right? That you know, again, and especially because of the fact that there's limited space, so the cemetery owners are all quick to do this. They'll build these structures that they can sell, you know, even though they don't have land left, but they could now expand, right? Just like we know, you can't build out, you build up, right? So the same type of thing, that's what they do. This is 100% not acceptable. What's that?
Condominiums.
Right. Yeah.
So you say all the time, all the city is talking about kuchos.
Kuchos, yes. You go in there.
It's like you're in the ground.
In the ground, yeah. You go in Yerushalayim, the Kivrei Sanhedrin, right, that people pointed at. Right? You go walking in the Sanhedrin neighborhood in Yerushalayim, and you pass by, they still have the place, even though, from what I understand, they're not buried there anymore, but they have, I believe that's what the Gemara means when it says kuchos, right, they were vaults in caves. But that was considered acceptable. That was considered acceptable. You find this all over the Shas. You find this in Marmoy Cotton and Beya, other places. This idea. One on top of the other with the separation, I believe, is acceptable. So you cannot bury two people in the same grave. There has to be some chitza of some sort between two people. There has to be some separation. Yeah, yes.
There was also the burying the body and then after a while digging it up and taking the
ossuaries. How do you pronounce it? Ossuaries. Yeah, right. So that's also mentioned in the Gemara, in the Mishnah that's mentioned about ossuaries, that the person goes to the this past summer I had the opportunity. I was in the Israel Museum in Yerushalayim, and if you go there, you'll see that they have remnants of such things, the ossuaries and so forth. That was a system that they would bury. Now, the idea there was that they would bury the person until the body decayed and it was just bones, and then they would take out the bones and put it again in the ground, but they would reinter the bones. Okay, now, what's the idea behind this? So this really brings us to the topic of embalming, okay, which is, now the embalming process is a process which is meant to retard, to prevent the decay of the body. Okay, so embalming is something that's done very commonly in the non-Jewish world. They want to have a wake. Okay, they had just yesterday, in fact, it was in the news in New York, they had the second funeral for the policeman that was killed in that incident. So it was already a couple of weeks since it happened, right? And they had a wake for him yesterday. So you say, well, he was killed 2.5 weeks ago. Right, so obviously they embalmed the body. That's what they do, and they do all kinds of things to make the person look good and so forth. But the primary issue is that what's done, this is done in order to prevent the natural process of decay. Now, this is what we find in the Torah yesterday. This was done to Yaakov Avinu. This was done to Yosef. So the question is this right or wrong? So we are told, the Shulchan Aruch says, not on the sheet, but the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a psak they have from the Rashba, it's actually in Machlokes and the Rishonim, but the Rama brings the psak of the Rashba that in certain situations they actually put a certain element, lime, that they would put on a body in order to get the body to decay quickly, for whatever reason they may have had. Now, what's the reason for this? So the Taz says something, a Kabbalistic concept, which is hard to know exactly, but the Taz here in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch says, I apologize, not on the sheet, he says that Kolzman Shebesaro Olav Yichav, there's a pasuk which says Besaro Olav Yichav, that so long as a corpse has the flesh on it, it is worried. What does this mean? So the Taz says, Eino Noach Min Adin, that somehow, that so long as the human body is intact, so there's still the concern of the ultimate judgment, meaning that apparently it seems that at the point that the body has decayed and it's only bones, so the judgment is over. The judgment of that person is finished. And as such, a lot of these things are discussed in the Sfarim of Kabbalah, and the Zohar speaks a great deal about the inyanim of Kfura, so it's very hard for us to, I know almost nothing about these things, so therefore it's hard to present it. But nevertheless, we find this idea that the decay of a body, which in the world is held to be, you know, a terrible thing, but in the view of the halacha, that's actually a good thing. Because so long as the body is intact, the person is still being held in judgment. And once that is completed, once that process is completed, then the person is done. So therefore, embalming a person is not correct because of the fact that you're slowing this down. The problem is that we can't communicate with the mason. But according to what we are taught, if we were able to speak to them, they would say, the person would say, please don't do that, please. Don't have mercy on me. Please don't embalm my body. I don't want this. I'd rather it happen faster. I'd rather go through this process as quickly as possible. So therefore, this is not considered something which is acceptable. Now, it happens to be that because of the fact that today people are common, in the modern world, people are buried in different cities and different countries, and primarily Eretz Yisrael, but not only Eretz Yisrael, sometimes a person is moved, the person passes away in one country and the family lives somewhere else and they want to bury with the family and so forth. So there is a certain process of embalming that is allowed, but that's done in a way that's a very limited basis. It's done on a very short-term, limited basis just to enable the body to be able to be transported. But to embalm a body long-term is something which is also considered absolutely unacceptable.
You see that with Aaron Bam, that he puts an embalming when he transports his body from Alexandria to Tiberia.
Yes.
A few days.
Yeah. Probably they did something. No, no, it's true. I'm saying that you could do that. You see, in the Torah, they were able to do it. What do you mean? They did it. They did it with Yaakov. They did it with Yaakov Avinu. How long do you think it took him to get there?
Was it
medical?
What?
I'm saying the process of embalming was known to people from the very beginning. You see that? You see that in this parsha?
Right, so but they didn't put in.
I'm not so sure that's true. They probably did something in order to, they must have done something. They didn't use the modern embalming fluid, that's true, that they obviously had some knowledge of what to do. This is what they, I'm saying, do Yaakov Yosef. Fine. Okay. Yes.
You want to do the sheep?
You see them in the Jewish cemeteries.
Yes.
Like boxes this high off the ground.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. To embalm a person, to bury a person not in the ground is wrong. You have to bury a person in the ground. Yes.
Nowadays with refrigeration.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't think refrigeration. I don't know on airplanes how that works. No, they do something. I you speak to Chevron Kadish. There's something that's done. The point. I'm just simply saying that it's possible to do it. But in general, to allow such a thing is incorrect. Now, if you look here in the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll end with this. In the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, on the second side, in Sif Gimel, so he says, "Vizesh Samu was Yosef et Tzadik Ba'aron." So he asked the question, which everybody asks: how could you say embalming is prohibited if you find in the Torah that they did it? So he says, "Diksiv Vayusim Bar Mitzrayim Hatam Pashut Lefisha Tzifa Lubli Kovro B'Mitzrayim." So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the reason that why by Yosef it was done was because he told them he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. So in Yosef's case, they needed a long-term embalming, because when it came to Yaakov, so permission was given to take him to Eretz Yisrael, but that's because he was not part of the Egyptian royalty. But when Yosef died, it was a much bigger situation because of the fact that he was one of their leaders. So one of their leaders, it wasn't such a simple thing. You know, you're not going to bury, where are you going to bury him exactly? Where are you going? You're taking him to another country to bury him, so they could not take him out. That was not, in other words, we find in the Torah yesterday two situations. Yaakov was taken, and Yosef was not, right? So Yosef, they had to put the body, they had to put him in a coffin, and that's what the Torah is saying. By Yusum Ba'arim B'Mitzrayim, they put him in a coffin, and they had to put the coffin in the water, in the river, in order to enable. And eventually, like we know, in the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, Vayikach Moshe Esatzmos Yosef Imo, right? That eventually, when it came time to leave Egypt, that was a whole different situation. They were able to take the body with them. But in order to facilitate that, so he had to be embalmed. That was the situation where it was due to, this is again, like we're saying, because the person being buried somewhere else, they had to do that. Okay, the same thing with Yaakov Avinu, even though he's referring to Yosef, but with Yaakov also, the Mefarshim say with Yaakov there was also another consideration, because of the fact that we have a tradition that the bodies of tzaddikim do not decay. Even though we said previously that the decay is beneficial, but by a tzaddik, the presumption, the great, great tzaddik, you know, a person of the stature of Yaakov Avinu, so there aren't really sins that need atonement, so therefore the body doesn't decay. So Yosef was afraid that if the Egyptians would see that his body didn't decay, they would assume that he's some sort of deity, and they would make him into Avodah Zarah. So therefore, in order to prevent that misconception from happening, he instructed that that his father be embalmed, so that when people would see, in other words, as they were carrying him to Eretz Yisrael, maybe that had passed through customs or inspections or whatever it was, and people would look into the coffin and say, "What's going on here? This person passed away a few days ago. He's still intact, 100% intact." So, and they would say that he must be some sort of god. So in order to prevent that from happening, so the Mefarshim say that it's brought in the Rechaim that Yosef instructed that he be embalmed so that they should attribute it to that. But there are situations where it's considered, you know, on a limited basis acceptable, but other than that, it's also prohibited. And just on the final sheet here, just the tshuva we have from the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein in one of his Svarim writes about the mausoleums, that he says in the second, Hine Vadai Shalivnos Mausoleum, Lahaniach Shamesim, to build a structure, a mausoleum over the ground, to put in Mesim who Isser Godel, right? He says this is greatly prohibited, Tzarech Likfar Dafka Bekarka, like we find in the Gemara. Okay, so therefore, these are all modern day situations which come up. It's just important that a person should know. And that all of these things are against the Torah. It's not just tradition. It's not just custom. You know, a lot of times people say, "Oh, it's Jewish custom, not a big deal." It's a mitzvah in the Torah, according to most poskim, that the kfura b'karka, even though some hold it's the rabbanon, but even let's say that. So the mitzvah to rabbanon, Chanukah is also mitzvah to rabbanon. Everyone does that, right? So therefore, this is something that a person has to take very seriously, and to whatever degree possible, a person should try. If they have relatives who are not interested in doing this, it's for their benefit. It's all of these systems. This is not archaic or primitive. According to the teachings of traditional Judaism, according to the Kabbalah, every step of the Jewish funeral process is beneficial to the person who passed away. All right, it's better to be buried in the ground. It's better that the body should be allowed to decay. It's better that should happen, right? It's brought, you talk about the ossuaries, it's brought that there was a time that actually they when they did the system, that they would make a party when the body had decayed to the point that it was just a skeleton. They would make a party. But you say, well, what kind of thing is that to celebrate? It sounds you know, barbaric? The answer is, because again, in light of this philosophy, so then that was a certain sense a happy occasion.
So
but anyway,
they would look at the body. They would look at the
apparently,
bones.
Apparently, bones. Yes,
also,
bones.
The Irish have the tradition. You mentioned the term wake.
Yeah.
But in the wake, the mourners get bombed. But the purpose of the wake was to see if the person was really dead.
Yeah. Okay. That was
and
what it was.
It's also the expression "saved by the bell." People used to be buried with bells.
Uh huh.
Because if they weren't really dead,
they would
ring the bell.
Uh huh. Okay. All right. All right. So there. Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway. So there you have it. So hopefully with this information, we could at least try. Do we? Can I say when it comes up? It's very often a very delicate, sensitive situation. A person really has to speak to people who know how to not just know the halacha, but also know how to explain it and how to educate people properly.
I'm not in a hurry to die.